I think the Charter should be our guide in life and in politics and in international relations. You have to establish certain principles and values. If you have a good set of principles and good values, your daily work becomes so much easier. So to be sure to always be reminded of the importance of the Charter, I do have it in my pocket. It's a pretty worn version of the Charter, but I need to have it. And I often quote some of my favorite parts of the Charter, which is peaceful settlement of disputes, where all the elements are listed for how to solve problems peacefully with the power of diplomacy before we move into Chapter 7, the use of force. And I think we should try to put as much attention as possible on the peaceful settlement of disputes, particularly if you combine it with Chapter 8, which is another very interesting chapter which has to do with cooperation with regional arrangements. And most recently, I worked together, for instance, in the Darfur conflict, together with Salim Salim. He represents the African Union, I represent the UN, in searching a peaceful solution. So in a way, we were combining Chapter 8 with Chapter 6.
And in addition to hearing you talking so passionately about the Charter, I heard you also saying that everything for you starts from the well-being of a child.
Yes, sometimes you get a bit frustrated in discussions. Maybe you get into this pursuit of turf battles, which is called, you know, and you sort of ask yourself about the responsibilities of your own organization vis-a-vis others, and you discuss how to divide up the responsibilities. And I always remind them and myself that when we work here in this organization, we should be guided by two things. We should be guided by this charter and the values and the principles for which it stands. And we should be guided by the child out there who is dehydrated, who needs water to survive, and whose face we should see in front of us while we work. If we always come back to the charter and the child, then I think we are reminded of what is the key purpose of serving in this organization.
In light of the current crisis in Syria and some other very serious crises in the world, Mali, Eastern DRC, what would be the dimension of your political mandate as Deputy Secretary General?
Well, I'm serving the Secretary General, and he is asking me to particularly focus on development and on political crisis. I'm working very strongly now with the Syria situation, but I was also recently in Addis Ababa at the African Union summit. And then I had long discussions also on the Eastern Congo situation, on Mali, on other conflicts in Africa. So I suppose I will be involved, but not in any way operational or in any micromanaging way. We have excellent departments for peacekeeping, Department of Political Affairs, and we work hand in hand. What I have, which the Secretary General has even more, is of course the convening power that on this level you can bring together all departments, all programs, all funds, and see the situation from different directions. For instance, now in Sahel, you have a humanitarian crisis, you have a developmental crisis, but you also have a huge political problem with the North Mali events and the takeover of certain extremist groups of that part of the country. In order to understand and deal with that issue, you have to combine, you have to work comprehensively, you have to see it both from the social, economic, and political perspective. And this is the great advantage of me having the responsibility of working both with political and developmental issues, that I can bring together all the elements that are relevant for a positive development further on.
Now, as far as Syria is concerned, do you think there is still room for political solution?
I always think there is room for political solution. The day we give up the political solution, then I think we lose the contact with Chapter 6 of the UN Charter. So I'm very, very glad that my friend and my respected colleague, Lakhdar Brahimi, has just now accepted to try to work out a political formula that will be accepted by the parties and hopefully also by member states who can influence the parties. I think for the United Nations to accept that a conflict continues and leads to tremendous suffering, and we should wait until that conflict is ended by military means, is not dignified. It's not in line with what we should do. So the struggle for peaceful settlements has to continue, and it also has to continue in the case of Syria.